Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from 1 Peter chapter 1, though you've seen him, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with joy that's inexpressible, filled in glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Dear friends of Christ, the two magic words. Now, you as parents know what they are because we teach them to our children. So what are the two magic words? Please and thank you, right? And of course, how many times have we said those words, thank you, whenever somebody gives you something, a gift, thank you. And how many times have we said please? You want to pass a table, something at the table, pass it, please. Or if you want a favor, please, would you do this for me? And so please and thank you. Well, I wonder, got me thinking, are there two magic words that we could teach our kids for Easter? Two Easter magic words. And if you think about it, really it could be praise and thanks. Because really that's what Peter's getting at here. There's an empty tomb. We live in a reality of praise and thanksgiving. And so the two magic words, that's what we do every Sunday. I mean, if you think about it, you come into church, we start singing hymns. What are we doing? Giving praise, giving thanks. We receive the gifts of God. We receive the promises of God in salvation. We receive the gift of Holy Communion. And what do? Praise and thanks, the two magic words. And so we need to remember those magic words, praise and thanks. Because there are moments in life when it's not easy to praise God or thank Him. And Peter knew that. In our first lesson, Peter was in prison and yet praising and thanking. Peter writes in his epistle to a people who are scattered because of the faith. Why are they scattered? Because the world is trying to kill them. There's persecution going on, and the Christians are running away so that they don't get killed. And in the midst of all that, they were losing brothers, and they were losing sisters, and they were losing moms, and they were losing dads. And in the midst of all that loss, all that pain, all that grief, the magic words, praise and give thanks, don't come to mind. And yet here, that's exactly what Peter is writing to his congregation, to the people that he serves and loves, to the church, praise and give thanks. And so that's our theme this morning. Can you imagine giving thanks to God when you've lost a loved one like that, a mom, a dad? And then after they're gone, you praise God and you thank Him. That's what they were dealing with. What might precipitate such a response? Well, faith. Faith in the resurrection, faith in the promises, faith in God. So that if I lose my mom, my dad, my children, my spouse, there's God. And there's the empty tomb. And there's a promise, and there's resurrection, and there's praise, and there's thanksgiving. The two magic words. Because you know that even though you lose them, one day we're going to see them again, right? The empty tomb means we're going to see each other again. There's going to be a resurrection of all flesh, and we know that. So how do you deal with the darkest days of your life? If this is what the early church had to deal with, because this is what they were dealing with, they were dealing with death, and they were dealing with loss of loved ones. That was what was on their plate for the week. What's on your plate for the week? What are you struggling with? What are your darkest days? What are your challenges? What's bringing you tears? What are your various trials? Peter talks about these things. And as we go through these trials, we cling to the promise of the empty tomb, no matter what the trial is. Listen, in this you rejoice. In what? In your trials. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Are you able to rejoice through various trials? Or do your various trials take all the joy out of Easter? Do you have a peace that passes understanding, that gets you through the various trials? Is dying for Jesus worth it? That's what the early church was saying. Is this all worth it? We're losing friends and family and church members. And the question they were asking was answered with a resounding, yes, it's worth it. Because as Peter writes, we have an inheritance. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Paul calls it a living hope. We have a living hope because we've got a living Christ who rose from the grave. And I want to ask you the question, where does that living hope live? Where does hope live? Hope lives in you. And it's not a dead hope, it's a living hope. It's a living hope that enables us to see in the midst of all the adversity, in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of all the difficulties, a living hope that enables us to face every day, no matter the challenges, with these words, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Living hope. And that living hope is your permanent possession. You always have it, and no one can take it away. Why? Because through Christ's death, resurrection, and empty tomb, Peter writes, according to God's great mercy, he has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ's resurrection matters. What we're doing here matters for all eternity. Christ's resurrection gives us hope. Christ's resurrection gives us eternal life, but it gives us so much more. God has caused you to be born again. You're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a living hope. Live in that hope. I hope you understand how wonderfully linked you are to Jesus. You have a God who has linked you to his life. He's linked you to his resurrection. He's connected you to all that in powerful ways. Now, you didn't establish that link. You didn't make that link happen. The Bible says God gave that to you. It's a gift. Peter writes, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth. See, without Christ's mercy, we're nothing. Without his mercy, we're spiritually dead. The Bible says we're born that way. We're born separated from God, spiritually dead. Paul says so. At the time that you were without Christ, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens and strangers and having no hope, being without God in the world. Born into the world with no hope. Born into the world with no God. And not linked to his promises. However, God has connected you. And I hope you understand how important it is to be connected to the cross and to be connected to the empty tomb. Because he's hooked you up. He's hooked you up to life. That's why Peter says, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Born again. You have hope. Now, you may feel hopeless, but your feeling of hopeless doesn't negate the empty tomb. You hear what I'm saying? You may feel dark, but your darkness doesn't negate the empty tomb. You may feel alone, but your loneliness doesn't negate the power of the empty tomb and the living hope of being born again that dwells in you. You have a living hope right now. Peter talks about all our earthly trials, though. He says, for a little while, though, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes through fire, that faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. Trials. And the two magic words, praise and thanks. When gold ore is placed into a hot fire, they take that ore and they purge out all the impurities. And Paul uses that illustration here of taking gold and putting it in and melting it, and then the dross rises to the top and you sweep it off, and all you've got is 24 karat pure gold. That's what trials do. They put us in a fire. And in the midst of those trials and challenges, we have to say, I still believe in God. Why? There's an empty tomb. Why? I have a living hope. Why? I'm born again. Why? I have an inheritance. Why? I have eternal life. These are the gifts given. All the sin is gone. And what remains? The promise. The promise. That remains. It matters. Stephen, remember him? When they were stoning him to death because of his faith, he cried out, Jesus, receive my spirit. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, were being beaten. While in prison, what did they do? The trial of being beaten, the trial of being thrown in prison. They sang and they gave thanks to the Lord. They sang hymns. Paul knew he was going to die. He was about to lose his life for Christ. And he wrote these words, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith, and now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that last day, but also, not just to me, but all who love his appearing. God takes our trials and he turns them into gold. That gold is the expression of our faith. In our gospel lesson, Jesus appeared to his disciples. The disciples had just been through all kinds of various trials. They'd seen a bloody mess. They'd seen their Savior, the one that they thought was the Christ, the God of the universe. They saw him bleed and die. It was a tragic moment for them. And then Jesus shows up and gives them all the marks of the evidence that they need. Put your hands here. Put your hands here. Stop doubting and believe. Live in the living hope. Live in the resurrection promise. You are born again. This is what I've done for you. This is the gift that you have. Peace be with you. They had a living hope. Their sins were covered. They lived in that joy despite the various trials. They lived in that joy no matter what was happening, to live in that hope. So let the living hope that dwells in you, put it into practice. How do you put it into practice? Think of the joy that's yours each day as you celebrate the risen Christ. All your debt is paid for. You live in the promise of God. But how can you be certain? How can you be certain that all your sins are forgiven? And you say, well, is your debt paid for? You say, I hope so. I think so. My friends, that's not a living hope. Well, I hope so. I think so is not a living hope. A living hope says the tomb is empty. A living hope says the price has been paid. A living hope says the victory is mine. And I live in that victory because I know he paid the price. You're linked to Christ. Forgiveness is yours by His blood. And that's why Paul writes, though you do not see Him, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. You rejoice with joy. I love how Paul puts that. I mean, in the midst of your trials, you have darkness. But in the midst of that darkness, you're rejoicing with joy. How can that be? How can you rejoice with joy when there's the various trials? Because the tomb is empty. Not only do we have a living hope, not only are we born again, not only do we believe and rejoice, but we have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. And where does your inheritance come from? Your inheritance comes from God. It's nice to receive an inheritance. If you've ever gotten an inheritance, it's nice to receive that money, right? Whatever the estate was. But the sad thing is, anytime you have an inheritance, somebody had to die for you to get that money. It wasn't your money, but it was your inheritance. What happens when God dies and leaves you an inheritance? How wealthy are you? Do you live in the wealth of that moment? Do you live in that living hope? How wealthy do you think you are? Paul writes, you're born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation that will be revealed to you at the last time. Don't you see? You have a home. You have a place. You have a promise. You are going to have a new body in the last time, a home in the last time. And that's your inheritance from God. That's your gift of faith. And where does this inheritance come from? Well, Jesus died. And Jesus rose, and the empty tomb, and the living hope, and the eternal life, and the born again, and the inheritance. All for you. It's a promise. It can't spoil, can't go away. Nobody can take it away from you. There's no trial, there's no darkness, there's no burden, there's no sickness, there's no death. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I hope you're beginning to understand and appreciate the gift of Jesus Christ, this empty tomb that you always possess. In the midst of all your difficulties, you always possess it, the living hope. In the midst of all your trials, you possess it. It's yours right now, that inexpressible joy. Rejoice with the joy. No matter how difficult life may come, you're able to endure. And what's our response to our living hope? The two magic words for Easter: praise and thanksgiving. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.